myself, I wonder how I'll make it last. I think I'll grab my phone, put in my passcode, and turn on the Out Bitch Podcast.
All right, here we are with the Out Pitch Podcast, episode 8, here with Cody Sevedos. Cody is actually one of my good friends. Definitely took the route that was probably meant for most Arcadia students, the physical therapy route. And Cody, I just want to, you know, get you in here, and, you know, glad to have you on.
Yeah, yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, it's been like, what, 4 years? Like, what have you been up to, like, lately? Like, have you been, like, just in school and I haven't seen you, I haven't heard from you?
Yeah, so, so it was 4 years of undergrad. And after I graduated, I looked into physical therapy schools. And originally, I had planned to stay in the Philly area. And, you know, life changes. So I had to make some decisions on the go, kind of, and punt. And I ended up going to grad school up in Massachusetts, Springfield, Massachusetts, at American International College. And I've been up here for 3 years. I just graduated the doctoral program there for physical therapy and accepted passed the boards and accepted a job up here.
Wow. That's actually really impressive. Like, and just like from the standpoint that, like, I remember like being in the library, I wasn't really doing that much work, but I saw you studying away really hard at the books. You know, you had a lot of really hard classes compared to me. So, no, well-deserved. And I just want to give you a little congratulations before we start.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
The full interview. No, it's good stuff. And I'm wishing you the best. So like, how did this start, Cody? Like, as a child, how was your upbringing with your parents, sports, everything? Just throw it at me.
Okay. So, well, I was blessed. I was lucky. My parents were very involved in my life, ever since day one. And a lot of stuff I did as a child, a lot of things I was involved in, it was, at the hand of my parents. So they didn't make me do anything I didn't want to do, but they always encouraged options. So from karate to bowling to baseball, basketball, Cub Scouts, I was always doing stuff. And they were always right there by my side. So, they really guided me through the early years. And, from there, I kind of narrowed down the sports. They still, really supported me and everything like that. But narrowed down the sports to baseball and basketball, which I, played in high school, and then baseball in college. And they were there every step of the way.
Yeah. No, and, like, I would love to get, like, more in-depth on that. Like, basically, you were just someone that just tried multiple things. Your parents put you in multiple things just to see what made you tick, kind of like how I did, too. But, like, it was sports, it was baseball particularly. For you, like, what, like, was it baseball, or was it, like, another sport that – or, like, another activity that you really – took a keen interest in?
So early off, it was just mostly activity. I just liked to be doing stuff. I was never a big video game person. I was never really an indoor person. I just like to be outside doing stuff. And the one big thing that I can give my parents a lot of credit for is that they never made me do anything, but they always encouraged me to try things. And they left the decision up to me, and they just said, look, we don't really care what you do as long as you're doing something. We do want you to stay involved somewhat, but they said, we want you to enjoy what you do, and we want you to, whatever you choose to do, do your best at it and really try to be the best you can be at it. So initially karate, I liked it. I liked to fight. And then, just the sparring and stuff that they would do is a great way to drain some energy. So I had fun with that, but it was never really my thing. Bowling actually was probably the most frustrating sport I've ever done in my life. So I did that for a while early off, and then that kind of faded, and it just went down to baseball and basketball. And, I really enjoyed both. But when I realized that I had the opportunity to play college baseball, I really focused more so on baseball, and basketball became more of a hobby.
Okay. No, that's just like a good, self-aware of what you were good at and what you wanted to do at an early age. And I was like, I was actually going to like jump in on it, on this part, but your parents like keeping you on that straight and narrow, but, encouraging you to like do your own thing, but making sure that you came back to reality at the end of the day.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's why I like, you know, you have like those idealistic parents that, you know, have the picture set on the most positive outcome. But then you have like the parents that are kind of realists that kind of just put you in perspective, like, hey, to get to here, you have to put in a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
And that's exactly like where I kind of got with your parents, is that they pushed you to always bring the best out of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important. I know that, there's actually my brother-in-law, he had his child and is almost 2 years old now. And he was telling me, he's a big golfer. And he was telling me, he said, you know, man, I really hope Tyler golfs. I really hope Tyler golfs. And, you know, I said, well, what if he doesn't? What if he hates it? And what if he wants to do the exact opposite and, you know, maybe play an instrument or something like that? And he said, you know, I really don't care. He said, whatever he picks, you know, to do as a hobby or as a sport, he said, I'm going to support him and I'm going to do everything I can to make him the best at it. So I think that's a great, great outlook to have, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, you can't force anything, like, your ideas or anything on your kids or anything like that. Like, I mean, I'm not a parent myself, or neither of you, but no, I think that we had a good upbringing and that we kind of felt the same, is that our parents kind of guided us to make the right decision and kind of work hard for where we needed to be to have our goals aligned with our day-to-day tasks.
Exactly.
No, and that's also, like, with all these day-to-day tasks, like, you know, is there one specific, like, mentor or coach or one of your parents that you kind of looked up to and got mentorship from?
Yeah, so I there definitely is. There definitely is one coach, well, two coaches specifically that stand out to me. And the interesting thing to me is that they're not, you know, and I pay it forward. I thank all the college coaches and the high school coaches and really anybody that took time to, you know, contribute to my development as an athlete or even as a person on a personal level. So I always you know, want to put that out there, that I've appreciated everything. I would say the best mentorship I had, or coaching, if you want to put it in that term, would be in Little League baseball. There's a gentleman by the name of Dean Myers. And, you know, his son played baseball with me. And in the local Little League, there was a bunch of different teams. And my father was a coach, and I always was on my dad's team. And that was tough. It was really tough to have your father as a coach, because it always seemed like they were coming down harder on you. So, you know, for good reason, they want you to do the best. But sometimes it's the fun out of it for me. And it was you know, now I'm thankful for it, but at the time it was a little stressful as a young kid.
Oh, yeah, it's your biggest supporters are also your biggest critics, and that's your parents.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sometimes, you know, the ride home wasn't always a great ride home.
No,
but there was another gentleman by the name of Dean Myers. He coached a different Little League team, but when it came time for All Stars, we would combine the teams, and, you know, all the coaches would vote on the All Stars, and you know, I was lucky enough to make the All-Pro team, and Dean Myers was my coach, and he was kind of an unethical coach. He did things a little differently than most people did, but he was always very honest with us, and he didn't treat us as children. He always treated us and preached being, you know, a young man. I think one of the biggest things I'm thankful for, and he actually reached out to me. I haven't talked to him in years. I've been away at grad school and stuff, and he reached out to me on Facebook after I graduated to say congrats. And, you know, I still remember mound visits when he would come out and I'd be pitching. And, you know, and I mean, imagine you're a 9-year-old kid, a 10-year-old kid on the mound, and he comes out and he would just say, you know, you got to grow, Perry. You got to go right after him, you know? And it really, you know, it fired me up. And I always did much better after his mound visits. And, you know, after the games, I'll always remember that, you know, we would talk about the game and everything like that, but he preached being a gentleman off the field. He said, you know, you shake the other team's hand, you don't talk back to the umpires, and he preached respect, and I think that was probably...
And Cody, honestly, the one thing I, like, really took out of that was that, like, you kind of, like, give yourself, like, motivational speeches. Like, it seems like you take what your pitching coach gave to you with the art of communication to speak to yourself and kind of self-talk yourself up. Did you use that for like test taking and like other aspects of your academic career?
Maybe not necessarily test taking. I think that, in my
perfection. Yeah, you gotta psych yourself up.
Somehow. Yeah, yeah, you definitely have to psych yourself up.
If I was taking a test, I was probably the most unprepared for the test, but I was the most enthusiastic. So you know, you gotta even out. So like, you know, everyone's in there like dreading the test. I'm like, let's take it. You know, even though I was ready to just put C in every bubble and then, you know, walk out.
Right.
For like the self-talk and the self, like your self-awareness kind of like, you know, knowing where you're at in the moment. You know, do you ever think of that when you get into like a high pressure situation? Do you ever think about like just taking a deep breath and like just slowing the game down a little bit?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So the national board exam that I took a few weeks ago, that would be a prime example of that. You know, my heart rate was probably 100 beats higher than it should have been. So I mean, for psyching myself up, you know, a deep breath definitely helps, or thinking about something to hype you up. I'm a firm believer that, and this would always help me with like nervous situations or like high risk situations. Especially like even when I was like a closer, you know, at Arcadia, it's higher stakes situations and stuff. And what would always help me is just coming back to, you know, if you prepared and you put in the work, then, you know, you're ready. There's no other way around it. If you did your due diligence and you put the work in and the time in, then, you know, you might get a little nervous, but there's no reason to be. You're going to perform the best you can. And you know, there's nothing more you can really do.
Yeah. It's like, it's basically just like lay your cards out on the table. If someone beats you, he beats you that day, but like, it's never going to define who you are at that point.
Exactly.
You know, it's basically, you just have to like react to it. It's how baseball is, like baseball, game of failure. You know, you have to react and you have to bounce back really quickly, because as a relief pitcher, I know that you have to bounce back. Like, you can blow a save the game before, but then you have to be on the mound ready to go, focus on the moment.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And it's basically you just have to keep on rolling with the punches. You know, you're going to hit failures. You're going to hit little micro failures that are going to just, you know, take over for a day.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, you just have to keep that same positive outlook. And it seems like you've kept that positive outlook throughout your whole academic and athletic career. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to like listen to see how you can kind of compare it to where you're at right now with your success and taking your tests and being in the best position to succeed moving forward. But now go back to growing up a little bit. Was there a specific job you wanted to do when you were like younger? I know that physical therapy wasn't like definitely number one on your list. It was definitely going to be like a pro athlete or something like that.
Physical therapy definitely was not anywhere on the radar. No shot. Originally, as when I was younger, I said, you know, pro athlete, and I'll never forget my grandmother, who's a realist. She, one day we were eating breakfast when we went to visit, and I said, you know, she said, what do you want to be? I said, oh, pro baseball player. She said, oh, you and every other kid in the United States. And I said, oh, well, maybe I should think about that.
But, grandma just laying down the wall right there.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that was. I just,
yikes. Maybe I should have heard that a little bit more. I've been my head's been in the clouds since birth. I still think I'm gonna be a pro baseball player.
Say that again. You cut out there.
Oh, cut out. I said, sometimes I feel like I'm still gonna be a pro baseball player. I still haven't had that person like put my put my head to the ground.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hey, if that happens, I mean, just remember me. Give me some tickets to whatever team you play for. You know.
Yeah, you know, I'm still going. Yeah. You know. What other occupation were you like really looking into? Like, I know you're, you know, saying like you have a good balance between realism and idealist. So, what would you say a profession that you were like really intrigued by when you were growing up?
Oh, so I was super, super passionate. And I mean, you could talk to like, you know, the older roommates, Connor, Brian, Austin, they'll all vouch for this. They'll probably laugh, but I was always very passionate about law enforcement, or maybe even like a military career. And, I mean, the majority of my life, I was passionate about that. And it's pretty much all I wanted to do. My mom was in the FBI and I wanted to do that, that same path and everything, and it was just super exciting for me. And she basically just begged me. She's like, you know, please, it's very dangerous. Think about something else, as, you know, most mothers probably would. So once high school hit, I started getting into, like, lifting weights and just, you know, the body, and I really enjoyed it. I didn't think I could do med school because it's too long. I don't know if I could be in school that long. And, you know, athletic trainer, I debated, and then I stumbled upon physical therapy after an ankle sprain of my own. And after that, I was just kind of like, wow, you know, this is pretty cool stuff, pretty good stuff. I'm going to look more into it. And then ever since then, I was like, all right, physical therapy is for me.
Wow. So, like that basically took you from a, you know, the personal training kind of took you to your physical therapy aspirations, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, just basically it took you, like, the flow chart was going all the way down to physical therapy. That's actually really cool. It's actually, like, really interesting. I kind of, like, I never looked at it as, like, a system, and, like, I kind of, like, pictured it as, like, as a workflow going on right now, like, your thought process. It's actually really interesting. But when we go into, now we're going into college, we're going into after tests, after everything. So initial graduation from undergrad, what was your, like, initial thoughts? Like, what were your, like, next thoughts going forward? Because you had to go to another 3 years of school, another 3 years of not making any income, and you have to go to a new place. Like, what were the initial, like, struggles that, you know, took place after undergrad completed?
Yeah, so I didn't really care so much about the, three more years of studying. I didn't really look at it like that because I was just so excited to be, you know, getting my DPT. So I was really looking forward to that. I'm not going to lie, when I didn't make it into Arcadia University's PC program, I was pretty upset about that. You know, I thought I worked really hard to get into it, and, you know, unfortunately the stars didn't align, didn't make it in. Everything happened for a reason though, and you know, I'm still got to where I needed to be, just in a different route. So I guess my initial thoughts were like, okay, great, I'm happy, I'm in PT school, I'm ready to get the ball moving here. I know it's going to be a lot more hard work. What I didn't really realize until about halfway in was that how much of a financial burden it would be, because, you know, my parents helped me out when they could. I always worked three jobs to support myself and to do things I wanted. But, you know, when friends would always want to get together, like if Connor, Brian, and Ep were like, hey, let's do a Boston trip. I mean, those hotels aren't cheap. Boston's great. Those hotels aren't cheap, and the beers aren't cheap either. So it was always a little tough to do the fun stuff. You know, food wasn't that.
Especially in Boston. Boston's very expensive. The whole New England territory is so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, like, I wouldn't know too much as much as you, you know, but going to school, but, like, it's just a great experience. Like, I'm sure that the education was, you know, pinpoint accurate on what it promoted, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, pass the boards, right? A lot of hard work, and you still have to apply yourself no matter what PT school you go to. I mean, if you don't put the time in, then you're not going to get much out of it.
Oh yeah. And are you excited? Like, I'm sure you're excited for this next opportunity in your life where you're going to be starting to work with patients and, you know, work as an actual physical therapist. Like, how does it feel that, like, you know, you're going to walk into an office and you're going to be like, okay, I'm a physical therapist now. Like, I've made where I need to, like, go, you know, you've hit that one milestone, and now it's to become, like, one of the best physical therapists out there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Yeah. I'm definitely going to aim to be. So it's definitely rewarding. I mean, it's just nice. I was actually, I was talking to my girlfriend this morning. I was telling her, it's now that I'm working and everything, it's just so different after 7 years of waking up and either working early Saturdays. I was a personal trainer for a little while up here and stuff like that. So I always had to work Saturdays, or I was studying Saturdays. So I said, now is, like, the first Saturday. I just wake up, have a coffee. You know, I got a haircut earlier, and, like, life's good.
You feeling good because you got a haircut? Oh. Oh, I love those days.
Yeah,
I love those
mean
days.
Days, you know. So,
Mean fades. Mean fade. Honestly, whenever I get a like a good haircut, I'm pumped. You know, I put on my story.
I know. I see it. I know you get excited about it.
Oh yeah, you see it? You seen that post?
Oh yeah.
Great. Best barber, Michael Colletti. Love him. Great
the
guy.
Shout out.
So you did a lot of internships and I guess what are they called in physical therapy and like the medical side? It's not an internship, it's like
clinical rotations.
It's called.
Pretty much. Certain places call it different things, but clinical rotation, yeah.
Did you find like a specialization in that? In your physical therapy? Like do you like want to work with like just like maybe like arms, like kind of like how there's specializations in, you know, surgeons, like for Tommy John surgery, like you want to be a special for an like specific arm injury or leg injury.
So there's different areas of the medical field that you can specialize. So you could be sports, outpatient, orthopedic, neuro. You can specialize in neuromuscular injuries. By the way, if the Phillies are listening to this and they need a physical therapist for the team, I, just contact Chris.
That
would be
please.
Great, especially with the background I have. I always, right now, the setting I work in is outpatient orthopedic. So I do see my fair share of post-op rotator cuff tears. I had a college baseball player who had what they call a bank art lesion, which is just a dislocation of the shoulder and like a fracture. So, I enjoy.
That sounds nasty.
Oh yeah. Well, he's a tough guy. He didn't even know. He actually finished the game and kept going, and then the pain didn't go away. And it's pretty traumatic. I mean, he did it sliding in the second base when his arm. He slid and his arm hit the ground.
And he didn't get it popped in back in till like the end of the game.
Well, no, they did a surgery. They surgically repaired it.
They had it surgically repaired.
What's that?
They had to surgically repair that?
Yeah, the surgeons go in and they basically have to make it stable again. It's pretty unstable after that, so they go in and make it a little bit more stable for them. And then there's a long protocol and a long road to recovery for rehab after that. But getting back to your question, it's always rewarding to use the knowledge I have with baseball to help rehabilitate, these athletes or any knowledge I have that's applicable to – the athletic population. It's always fun. I mean, I always enjoy working with all my patients. Pretty gratifying when if it's a baseball player and you're doing other things other than just, bicep curl, tricep pushdowns, you get them swinging a bat with a resistance band on it. It functional things like that that help, if you have the knowledge of a sport is always really great. In terms of myself specializing, I'll probably work in the field for a few years and then look at specialties or residencies, they usually call them, things like that. But right now, no, I don't have a specific one I want to work into. I actually eventually want to look into opening up my own business.
Oh, maybe we'll get in touch on that one a little bit. Yeah. No, we'll get in touch. just going back to, everything, the overall arch of this podcast with sports and it being, stability in your life, I guess, something that gave you structure. It kind of put you on the path to success. But what would you say – if you could give advice to, someone that's struggling with, just getting on with their life from, college or moving on into the next stage, like to be like that are maybe afraid or, just worried about the next stage of their life. What would you say? What would be your advice to those people?
So you mentioned a couple things. So I would say for the person that's like unsure or wavering on what they want to do, I would say jump into it. I mean, you definitely don't want to be passive. So I know that there were some fields within physical therapy that I wasn't positive I wanted to be in. And so I said, well, I should go do it. Let's go do it. And then if I still don't like it, great. I don't have to work there the rest of my life, but I need to try it. So for the people that are not sure, I would just say go out there and do it. I mean, you know, there's really easy ways to not burn bridges. So if you take a job and you don't love it, I mean, be transparent and be professional about it and just say, you know, wow, this really isn't for me. And you never know what kind of doors can open. I mean, you never know who your boss may know. And they say, well, look, you know, we appreciate that. And now you said you want to work into this. We actually have something in this. Or I know someone who could put you in that position. So I would just say go out and do it. Take a chance. And nothing's permanent, right? So I was pretty stressed out about I passed the boards. And I was like, where do I want to work? You know, a lot of factors play into that. And I had so many people tell me that, you know, this isn't your forever thing. You can take a job, and if you don't like it in a year or two, yeah, it's not the end of the world. So for those people that are unsure or they're just kind of 50-50, I would just say go full force, 100%, and commit. And if you don't like it, you know, it's no harm, no foul. If anything, it's experience. And I always say try to take at least, you know, sometimes you go into things and you're like, oh, man, I'm going to hate it. This is going to be the worst thing in the world. But I always look at it and I say, if I could take one positive out of it, you know what I mean? There's always going to be 10 negatives that you can find. If you could really find one positive or one thing that makes you smarter or better in what you do or more marketable even, you know, I always say, like, you have a dollar sign on you. If there's a really bad situation, but you can pull one good thing out that makes you more marketable, then it's actually a good situation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And, like, just putting yourself in the best position to succeed every day. It's not even just about like getting business in or anything like that. It's just marketing yourself as a good, genuine human being. And no, that's exactly how I would tell people just to keep on moving forward and, you know, jump right into something that you want to do. Like I just jumped right into what I wanted to do. And you know, I'm going through struggles right now, but like, is it going to be worth it when I come out, you know, swimming the English Channel and drowning in champagne, you know, like that's exactly, you know, like it's basically what it is.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm swimming across the channel right now and you know, moving forward, and you know, you just have to get hit by the waves, you know, swallow a little bit of salt water and you know, let that fill your lungs a little bit and grow some hairs on your chest and move forward.
I would personally rather look back and say, you know what, I tried something and it sucked, or I was really bad at it, or I just didn't like it, than say, you know, I honestly never tried that, but I wonder what would have happened if I did. I'd rather just say, hey, I did it. Yeah, not for me, or I did it, it was great, but for some reason I didn't stick with it. Whatever. I'd rather try it.
Yeah, and you get respect from it, because people that are out there that are probably telling you it's never gonna work, the people that are rooting against you are the people that wouldn't even try for themselves.
Yep, exactly.
So you already have a step ahead of them. Even though you fail, you're already one step ahead of them because you know what doesn't work.
That's right. And I always tell people, you know, and you see this no matter what, whether you're at work or you're in grad school or you're in high school or it's a team, whatever. You're always gonna do stuff and someone's always gonna have something to say on it. There's you know, you're never going to have 100% support. There's always going to be people, like you said, the critics. And to be honest with you, you know, I always answer, like when people say like, oh, but I you know, I get busted for this or, you know, people say that. And I say, guess what? Those people are never going to pay you. Those are never going to be the people that give you stuff for free or pay you or build you up in any way. So, you know, oh, well, who cares? I just don't listen to it, you know?
Yeah, that's the way you have to be. You just have to, like we said, to just roll with the punches and kind of just live day for day and kind of just live for yourself. Like you can't kind of focus on any kind of bad stuff that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And I think, you know, another parting comment I'd have to say that I've, you know, seen over the years, I'm only 25, so I won't say, you know, over my many years, but over the few years that I've been, you know, doing this stuff and building myself up, there's a lot of people that don't want to put the time in. And then when you put the time in, they have something to say about it and why you shouldn't be doing it. And I think, you know, unfortunately, especially with younger generations, not all, but I feel like I see it a lot. People don't want to put the time in. They want stuff to come to them and they don't want to work quite as hard. They're kind of, you know, maybe the entitlement, or they're expecting you know, well, for this, I should get this. And they don't want to put forth the extra effort and because it's the issue.
It's patience. Patience is definitely a key word to this. And I really have to, like, I'm practicing it myself. Like, you know, patience is definitely something that we have to take in perspective as well. Like, things aren't going to happen overnight. You know, Kevin Hart says, you know, it took him 10 years to become an overnight success.
Right.
You know, it's a process. It's every day. You have to love the game. You have to love to go out there and do what you're doing. You know, that's like first and foremost. Like, if you don't love what you're doing and you don't have like a drive that's past just getting wealth or some kind of monetization of anything, then your goal or dream is not big enough. I think you have to drive for a purpose of movement of people, not a movement of money.
Right.
And I think that's where it starts. I think that's where it starts. Like, the wealth and everything is great, but there's a lot of unhappy people out there that are making tons of money because they're not doing what they really want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, I think but like going back, like, I think patience is definitely something that you have to, you know, take a step back and kind of just watch your next move and just, you know, see how everything is in slow motion kind of.
Yep.
Just like how, you know, pitching was basically everything was in slow motion. We had little, you know, details to every single pitch that we had to, you know, be aware of before we even made a pitch that was part of a bigger game.
Right.
In itself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, some of the time, you know, there were a decent amount of times I'm like, oh man, I hope in batting practice I was able to do this. Let's see if I could do it here. I wiped the sweat off my forehead, you know. Oh.
Well, this pitch was moving this way, now it's moving this way. I don't know. I'm just gonna throw this ball.
Yeah, close my eyes and throw it and see how it goes. You know.
here's some confidence right here. I think it just comes down to, like, you know, first of all, be grateful for where you're at and being aware of where you're going to go, and then enjoy the journey. I would say, I think enjoying the journey is something that people kind of take it out of the actual story.
Absolutely.
In itself, they kind of they just jump right to the end result. But no one talks about the shit that they went through, or the struggle that they went through. You know, it's real, because like everyone goes through it. It's not just the most successful. It's not just, you know, the people that fail. There's struggle in every single story.
That's right.
But it's how you react.
Yeah, every level that you're at, you know, every part of life, every chapter, you know, there's always going to be struggles. But I always challenge, you know, like to my classmates and stuff like that, I always challenge people to, rather than looking at, like, you know, failures and accomplishments, just look at learning experiences. So instead of putting titles on it, like, you know, this is a big accomplishment for me, or this, I failed at this. Nah, I mean, it's all learning experiences. You know what I mean? If it's a good learning experience, any learning experience is a good one, right? So even if you fail, you still learn something for it, so you don't do it again, right? You're not going to fail again or make the same mistake you did if you're running a business, whatever. And to me, that's a win. So it's personal development, and you're always moving forward. So I think that's a really important concept for people too. Is less emphasis on pluses and minuses, and more emphasis on just overall learning. Just, you know, really progressing yourself.
Yeah, basically, stop keeping score. You're only in the bottom of the second.
Yeah. Yep.
Kind of thing, you know, like you have 9 full innings to play in life, and you know you're still batting in the bottom of the second. Just relax. Just because you see you're down 3-0 doesn't mean you can't put up a 5 spot. So it's one of those things. And like, I agree with you 100%. Like, you just have to keep on moving forward with any kind of diversity that hits you. So Cody, just to, you know, sending off with final thoughts, what is a question that you have for the audience?
Question I have for the audience. So I guess it would be, you know, I'd be really interested in hearing the reasons or the whys as to, like, what's holding people back. So we talked a lot about today about, like, you know, what how'd you feel doing this? What made you go and do that? You know, you can't stay complacent. My big question is, what causes complacency for people? What's the whys out there? Is it financial? Is it time constraints? And I guess
What are your excuses to not getting to the next step in your journey? I said, what's the excuse that you're making for yourself for not getting to the next step of your journey?
And then I guess my side question would be like, hey, what do you want out of your physical therapist? You know, as a brand builder for myself there, what would you like to see in the physical therapy?
Get some nice marketing tips out there.
That in there at the end.
You know, we'll do a full survey for you. All right, Cody, where can we follow you on Instagram, on LinkedIn?
So I actually, I'm behind the eight ball there with the LinkedIn. I never made one. I did a lot of my interviews and stuff like that with I'd call the company or where the business, and I'd say, hey, you know, can I come in and talk to you for jobs and stuff like that. So I did a lot of face-to-face stuff, not so much online. So LinkedIn I do not have yet, but I suppose I will set one up soon. I know.
You got to get on there. That. My
professor was like, how are you 25? And I'm like, no, but I have a job. You know? All right. But
Give me a break.
Give me a break. So I'll get on there. And then for Instagram, it's the Cody / Tostitos. Yeah. Feel free to follow.
Oh, well, perfect with salsa, right? Cody, thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was great talking with you.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to today's podcast. I'd really, 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 really appreciate it if you guys liked or shared this podcast. It was very insightful, and I think that some people would definitely benefit from it. So thank you very much in advance. Have a good day.